Welcome to Inspiration Radio, Growth Principles for Humanity and Progress. Join us when we share information, wisdom, and ideas how to create an extraordinary future for us all. The future is open. We together decide what will be in it. Welcome to another episode of Inspiration Radio. Today, I mainly wish that you feel the hope and get the understanding what we could achieve if we really want to. My guest today is Malidor. He was a major and a project manager. He was as a director of a lot of different countries. He even went in politics, and he's living in Israel, is part of a huge help organization. They're working on in 63 countries. They created a project, they call it AJIK, and that means also it's Arabic, Jewish, economic empowerment cooperation. And it's incredible what they do, helping people business-wise. Check the link out, go on the webpage. So I'm very pleased now to give you some insights in what the work is, what they're doing, which challenges they have, and what are maybe the root cause of all the problems. It gives us also a solution, what we all can do to really work for world peace, for the paradise. We are responsible as well, because we are co-creators. What we tolerate will happen. Listen carefully, be touched, get new ideas for hope for the future, and maybe you find the way in your area to really work also for a better future. I'm so happy that we have a chance to talk, Malidor. I know you're a father of three and have nine grandchildren. How do you see the future for them?
My father and mother were survivors of the Second World War. All their families were killed and murdered during the World War II. And when they came to Israel, I think that they came out from this big trauma when they lost to all their families, and they built a new society. I found out that not only my children, I have three children, not only my children, but my grandchildren already knows what it is, the meaning of sirens, and you know that they must go to shelters, where is what we call red color on the television, and they understand it also, and they feel it. So, and during all the time since I finished the army in the year 1972, since there we were striving for peace, and we are believing on it. And I call it a soldier for peace. During that time, although we passed the many wars. And we still believe that we can reach peace, not with this government, but if there will be change in the government, in the elections, if there, we will succeed to manage to get the elections, maybe there will be a new era. Sometimes people asking me, like, you are still striving for peace, although what you are, you pass, then I say yes, because we do not have another hope for the future of our children and our grandchildren in this country. So this was one of the reasons that I personally decided to found together with Dr. Yehuda Paz the Negev Institute for Strategies. We call it Negev Institute for Strategies of Peace and Development, because we connect between peace and development, and we believe very much in people-to-people approach. And that was the main reason that we are founded, and we decided from the beginning to to work in three circles: the international level, the Middle East level, and with our Palestinians neighbors, and the Arab Jews conflict in Israel and the relationship with the poorest society of the Arab society in the Negev.
When I was in Jerusalem and I talked with different interfaith organizations, I realized that like everybody wants to live in peace, but there was also a kind of always, it's a lot of mistrust, but a lot of kids now they need to go to the shelter or whatever and experience the war and the news. They are more about, I guess also in Israel, more about war than about peace efforts. There's a lot of trauma new created, and how to overcome the mistrust and how to strengthen the belief, the hope we will make it, and that they can really trust and go for a different way of living together.
The process of the conflict resolution between us and Palestinians undoubtedly depends on and derives from what is generally termed the political peace process, both in the initial stage of conflict resolution and the ongoing basis. This is the true of conflict between nations and between ethnic, religious, tribal, or social groups within one country. It is important to recognize, however, that government and political agreement cannot by themselves serve the creation and guarantees of a lasting... You must consider and consist of more than carefully phrased documents. It must rest on more than formal agreement and political guarantees. And that's why we believe that peace will take root and flourish only in condition of growing mutual confidence, of deepening mutual understanding, and where there is effective cooperation between people. The conflict resolution must find a concrete and immediate expression in the economic and social realities of people's lives. But the achievement of all of this requires direct interaction between both sectors of society on both sides of the conflict. So for this to come about, the organizations and institutions today grouped under the heading of a civil society, that's what we believe, must become actively involved in the peace process. And that's what we are trying to do. And it requires the development of a civil society, a people-to-people peace process, parallel to the political peace process carried out by government and political institutions.
In the business world, we have often the saying, okay, there's old business models and the young people are different and new models are coming. It's more the old guys. Is this maybe all something that just try to protect an old way of thinking and living together?
I very much hope for that because the new generation is more open to the world. But they are open to the world through, you know, the internet. We can connect and speak together, and it's complex when you are speaking about the conflict between two societies that are in conflict, and we have a lot of Palestinian friends. But today, sometimes it might be difficult and maybe even dangerous to speak together from both sides. I'm optimistic about the young generation. I think that the young generation might find better ways to connect. We are investing a lot of efforts to bring together the young generation together to speak with each other.
Especially with the different cultures, to see we are just the same, we are all one. And in this, we are equal. the misuse for fake and fake news, separation, and the government's love to work with fear to manipulate people a lot. I have the feeling also a little bit in Europe, nobody really understands or has the experience of war besides some internet games, and easily to kill people in an internet game, but they have no clue really what it is. One just go there to help those in need. Like you said, the Bedouins are the poorest of the poor. Is it more like really that just the worst thing can be avoided? Or can you also, in the other 59 countries, help and support in direction peace and communication? Or is it just more as help them to survive?
We are usually helping them to survive because we are coming up the crisis usually. We are coming first and we stay as long as it needs.
We easily from the outside just see the surface. But there's a long history in these countries. And somehow it feels really kind of strange and crazy that now Israelis help the Palestine. From the outside, there's so many rich Arabics, Muslim countries. All these oil countries have so much money. Why didn't they help, really?
We were trying also to deal with it by building a network for peace. Between all the countries in the Middle East, not only with the Palestinians.
Yeah.
This project we have done together with the Palestinians, our Palestinian friends, and with the help of the EU, it was a project of 2 years, and we built a network of about 300 people. And we used to meet every 3 months together. And we built an organization in Israel to support our business initiative. And we believe in it very much. And we think that if there will be a government which really want peace in Israel, they should adopt this program. Because this program is solving the Palestinian problem, and the Arab countries, the rich Arab countries, are ready to participate, but they demand that the Palestinian problem will be solved. So usually we thought that this is the main reason that they are not involved in projects like that more. They can support, from our point of view, we think that they can support more the Palestinian side, although you can see what happened when Qatar push money into Gaza. This money went on cement and weapons.
There was always a king and he misused his people. He sent the soldiers and I don't care if they die. I don't care what my people die for. Just before you had all these ideas of supporting, the West Bank could, I believe, theoretically, flourish because of whatever oil money. Is it just different religions, or is it just let's all let them suffer, but we are against Israel?
It is a tragedy of the Muslim countries. I think that there is a recognition of it now in the last years because they began to have collection and even peace agreement. The Abraham Accord agreement with Israel. And what we hear from them is that they are very fatigued of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict because they think that the Palestinians by themselves didn't do enough for peace. They have a chance to do it in Camp David, and they have a chance to do it a few times. And they didn't the political leadership. If there will be a solution for the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, they will support. They say all the time that they don't want to support if there is no solution. If you are looking at the situation, there is a good opportunity for peace.
How could a small country then like Gaza or this little strip really survive and flourish economically and needs cooperation or trade with Israel or other countries, because on itself it couldn't really survive?
And there is an opportunity because Saudi Arabia is going with the initiative of President Biden giving support. It is also the interest of Egypt, because Egypt don't want the Palestinians to go into Egypt. The outside circle of Jordan, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, the Gulf countries have interest that the situation, the economic situation, will flourish in Gaza and in the West Bank, putting aside Hamas, because they do not work. They are radical than us about Hamas, because they are afraid that Hamas will bring the Muslim radical
into Egypt.
Into Egypt or into Jordan or into the Gulf state or into Saudi Arabia. So they are, they don't want them. If the Hamas will not be in the picture, then there might be a flourish today, because there are no workers, no Arab workers coming from the West Bank, and no workers from Gaza is coming in. All the construction side of our economy is on freeze. It's on freeze. There is no building, new apartment, new houses in Israel, and it is a big disaster in the construction.
Years ago, we used Israel as an example, a role model for democracy. This role model of democracy, is this maybe also a reason that the more dictatorship thinking Arab countries don't like Israel?
Yes, Israel is still a role model for democracy, and you can see it from the strengths of the civil society in Israel. Actually, there were trial by the government to make kind of revolution in our democratic system. In the last year, since January 23, they tried to overcome the democratic constitution and the democratic role of the judiciary system, and to make it more and more dictatorship, kind of. And what happened? Civil society went to the streets, and actually it prevented this kind of dictatorship trial. And we still democracy, but there is a lot of dangerous situation in Israel. Because we used to say all the time that we are a democratic or Jewish state. But because of this radical right-wing, orthodox, religious government, it more today, the government is more in favor of the Jewish than in favor of democratic state. We must stay on alert, and the democratic system in Israel is under danger, very severe danger, and we hope that's why we demand election now. We demand election now, because if we will have election now, we will change the situation and we will bring back Israel as a role model for democracy.
You believe now, when a kind of war situation is, most votes would go more for democracy and not for Separation and the Hardline?
No, there is many people in Israel are looking for revenge. On many people believe on the feel anti-Arabic feelings due to the massacre of the 7th of October. But still, most of the people, according to all the polls, do not believe the government at all. And if there will be election now, due to the failure of the government in the giving them the Bibi Netanyahu was the prime minister say all the time that he is going to give the people of Israel confidence, security. What was the main things? Security for Israel. I will secure Israel. And it failed completely. And people today see that they cannot be even services. And you must understand that we have to gain more than 200,000 refugees inside Israel. People are not living in the north. They left their homes in the north border of Lebanon because of Hezbollah, and people left their homes and their cooperative farms and the kibbutzim and moshavim in the south of Israel, and they are living in hotels and some other places. Well, we have an inner problem of refugees in Israel. That's why by myself that we are working today more in Israel on humanitarian side. We are supporting those people.
Our kids grow up, and also those kids also, what do they learn? And we create the enemy for the system, society, already by ourselves. And that's what I can see here in the West, in Europe as well.
Just let's make a short break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
How do you see the role of the media? For me, when years ago had the idea to take a look at Jerusalem Interface Organizations, I said, wow, how much is going on there? Why don't nobody knows about it? The work you're doing from, let's say, kindergarten, kids and everything is supporting. It should be so much more known. And when we talk here about, or you use the word hope and we're going for peace,
sometimes I found that we are more popular in communities around the world that knows about our activities than in Israel. When I'm telling people in Israel what we are doing with the Bedouin community in the south, immediately they are telling me, and you are not afraid to walk there because they are still in the cars and there is violence and so on. You find yourself that you are explaining the basic facts about the population in such places. I'm asking them, do you know that about 80,000 Arab Bedouins are living without water, without schools, without electricity, without roads? They do not know the facts about it. Mm-hmm. And we are trying now to bring more and more facts and news about what we are doing in the Arab society and with the Arab society, because we believe in shared society. We believe in shared Jewish and Arabic life. But the newspaper usually is telling about a murder and there is a growing violence in the Arab societies. And they usually hear about the violence because the government is not dealing with the roots for that violence. And every year, 35,000 young children finished high school in our society. And most of them are without any opportunities for the future. So the best opportunity they have for easy money is to go to crime. And then is the going the cycle of violence inside the world. So what we are doing, we have a special program for that. We are making every year about 1,500 youngsters like that. We call it the transition year, and we are taking care of them once 1 year. And after they finish the transition year, 80% of them are entering into university, and the rest of them are going to work.
Yeah.
Even the former government looked at it and they told, look, this project is a kind of solution for the Arab society and preventing crime. But in general, the government changed. They do not believe in a shared society, and they do not believe in a project like this.
I just spent 4 months in South Africa, and we had Mandela there, and he was really a leader for the country. And they said it was the Rainbow Nations. If I look at Singapore, the guy who built Singapore, wow, he could stick with principles and was really working for it. The main politicians I see today is there's so much more in their own power game involved and not really strongly working for the people. So in this case, we're missing the leaders. Besides all the problems you're facing every day, and we are close to war, you're also close to the young people or those who are working. You're a huge organization of people with thinking and hope. What you say is the key point to focus on, that we all come closer to peace.
Without the political decision to reach peace, although we are doing wonderful work on the field, but without the political decision to go into peace, nothing will happen. But if the good people are not going to politics, the change will not come. Now, many people begin to understand that. And we saw it lately, by the way, last week, there was a municipal election in Israel. Many young people understood that and entered into the municipal level, which is very, very important because actually the municipalities have done the work of the government. The government failed completely on the municipal level. Authorities all over Israel have done this work of supporting the people, the refugees inside Israel, together with civil organizations like us. And now, in many cities, especially in the big cities in Israel, young people are there. And I hope that this is the beginning of understanding that they must be involved in the political level. I myself, I can tell you that I entered into politics in 1973 after the Second Yom Kippur War, because we lost faith on the old leadership, and we said, look, we cannot stay only in the university and so on. We must go into politics. And at that time, I entered into politics. So I believe that the young generation that until now didn't want any connection with politics must do it. It must do it in Israel, it must do it in Europe, it must do it in the United States.
Most people think peace is when I don't need to do something. Yeah, don't leave me alone. Luther King says, if you really want to peace, you have to organize it as powerful as the others are organizing war. Nothing happens by accident, so you need to really work on the principles. The governments and the young people, I see it in also here, especially in Germany, I have because I, in German, have most insight. We have a lot of people in the government and the parliament who have never really been out in real life, were entrepreneurs and everything. They went to school in party organizations and discussed themselves to the top jobs. Now they're running countries and making decisions and have no clue really what they are doing. And the millennials maybe are in this way easy on the wrong trap and says, I don't like this, so I turn away. I believe really on the local level is a good chance to start to do something. Because if all the cities were ruled different, then the top government couldn't play the game they are playing now. Getting an understanding of really being self-responsible also for what is in the world, or what Gandhi might say is the change you want to see in the world, you have to be and work for it. And if we're thinking war, we get war. If we're thinking peace, and then really the deep intention is peace, it will happen.
We are very much connected to the Social Democratic parties.
Isn't it?
Europe and the United States, the Democratic parties, and we consider them as our friends, and we share the same values. But on the other side, lately we found out that there is a huge ignorance about what happened even lately on the 7th of October.
Yeah.
Look, it was such a massacre, and I commemorate usually my words in such interviews like this to Vivian Silver, who was our CEO, former CEO of Energic Nispet, and she was a member of our board in Energic Nispet. And she was a peace activist. And she was every week taking healed persons from Gaza to hospitals in Israel. And she believed in all her heart on peace. And she was murdered in her kibbutz.
Mm-hmm.
These kibbutz members were also peace living and peace activists. And they were murdered by people from Hamas who do not believe in peace, want only to kill the Jewish people. Nevertheless, who they are, if they are still believing in two-state solution and giving back all the occupied the territories and building bridges between Gaza and Israel, and they murder them.
Mm-hmm.
They murder them. And I ask my friends from the Social Democratic Party and from the left, how you can support Hamas? It is okay that you are criticizing Israel for the occupation. And I identify even with your critic about the occupation. We are fighting against occupation in Israel. But it's one thing to support the peace, the Palestinian Authority, who have an agreement with Israel. And it is a second story to support Hamas, who is jihadist, the ISIS kind of organization, murderers organization, who do not believe in peace. And you say that you are believing in peace, and you're supporting an organization that is not supporting peace at all. So
yes.
Okay. That's what I could not understand.
Cowardness is not peace. Huh? That's always fighting back. But we have it in a lot of areas. They have also the opinion, like if you just see a company, oh, hand over, we don't need a boss, hand it over to the employees, and then the company is gone, huh? But that's, if it's, one part is the ignorance, but it's not just the ignorance of a war or a situation there. I think it's partly an ignorance of really life principles in general. It's just an ideology, and now we need to say that, and has no really background in reality. And you can see, like Germany also, when I mention it again, everybody says it's a rich country, but we have also 5 million kids who are poor. We have so many poor people, unemployed people. So I can't really believe that the government is doing a good job. If we have those situation, and now with the Ukraine war, we have more discussion even than with Israel. Somehow cowardness is how to support or not to support or whatever. And by this, be part of killing so many people.
Well, I must tell you that I'm very concerned about the rise up of the right-wing radical Nazi groups in Germany. The family of my father left Germany in 1933 when the Nazis came into power. My father was born in Germany. And they left the country because they saw that they have Jews that cannot live in Germany. And today, to find out there is a grand generation in Germany who do not, as you say, do not know what is the World War II and what happened and what kind of destruction and death came on the German people because of people like that. And they are supporting people like that.
Yeah, I'm born after the war, so when I grew up with all this, and we need to say, obey for Israel, or what did we do? I said, I didn't do it. I have nothing to do it, and it will never happen again. We really believed it will never happen again. But if you just simply see what happened in COVID at the time, we suddenly, there are two parties, and it's like, oh, now I got it, how fast you can switch the mindset. No. And we had it somehow, and maybe it was not really Nazi time, but it's the same behavior that you can be against someone, vaccination, no vaccination, and you're a murderer, and we need to go in prison. It was crazy how fast it can go. And that's why we always say, be careful in the beginning, if it is hard to turn around. In the end, it doesn't matter if Israel is winning and Hamas is losing or winning or Israel is losing. We're still in the win-lose game. Yeah. And what you are working on is, let's go on the next level, yeah, where we all together can have peace. And that needs a different worldview, thinking, awareness, consciousness, what it is. Otherwise, we still in the trap of playing win-lose or even lose-lose.
Just let's have a short break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So when you have your kindergarten and you don't call it kindergarten, I guess, but the project with the kids, have you something in there training awareness or for win-win? Because the living together is a more we world, not the I world or me world.
I think the key word is cooperation. There is a very poor villages or villages in the Arab community, in the Bedouin community. And one philanthropic organization came and asked the people there, what do you want us to do for the kids? Mm-hmm. They say, we need a kind of a playground for the kids. So they brought the most sophisticated playground. After 2 weeks, nothing was there. So we came to that philanthropic organization and we told them, look, you must see how we are doing it. Give us the resources to do it. We'll show you how to do it. We want to build a playground together. Please give us a group of mothers who have children who are playing. It was a group of about 60, 70 people. Please let us know what you need and how you want to put it. And they were part of the process on the first stage. And they planned it together with us. And they told us where to put it. And they said, this, you should do this and do this and so on. And we just were helping them to build it.
Yes.
This playground exists even about 7, 8 years ago. It exists until today. And we showed the philanthropic organization that how to build, because if you are doing it with community, coming from the needs, the basic needs of communities, you identify the needs of the community. And from the beginning, you are working on the same level with the people, not from above, not giving them money to do something, but to build it, everything, every project that we are doing it together with the people who need this project.
You involve them, they're emotionally involved in the project, have a deeper understanding. And that is a big, big problem, I guess, also in the Western world. The kids today, they get so much for free. Grandma is giving the iPhone and everything. There is an entitlement today, and they're not really involved. They get whatever, 100 presents for Christmas, open one after the other, and then ignore it again. So it's really also what is life, what it's all about, really. And it's about this involvement. It's about the connections and really go for living and not for killing. You work on so many different projects in this complex world, and I'm really grateful that you took the time that we could talk about it and give us so much hope, and that we learn out of it. Just be with the feet on the ground, connection, be responsible, feel responsible what's going on in your area, and take part of it, and think peace always, whatever happened.
Think peace and have hope. Without hope to do things,
yes,
there is no change. So we believe that if people will have the reason for hope, there will be a change in our life.
Yes, yeah. Especially if we see that people can have hope in so stressy situations, then we who often live here in a more secure or Disneyland atmosphere, we should at least do this task and really think, have the intention for world peace, or if I use the term of Mandela, he created the rainbow nation, let's have a rainbow planet. The hope that is planting in the kids is in so many areas and so many countries, like I said, 60 countries at least, you're planting something, and I hope in this way also that this plants there will one day have super fruits have a huge ripple effect. We're living in a world where you study medicine and you learn to treat the symptoms and not the root cause. And that is a general thing that we have a different understanding where it's really coming from and what we need to change there. Yeah. And that's why I admire what you do. You go there really. What is the root cause and working there? And like Einstein said, those who created the problem, they can't solve the problem. It needs a different awareness, a different mindset to solve it. But then we are closer to paradise.
Yes.
Thank you, Marino, for working on it.
Thank you, Wolfgang.
Yes, and I'm really happy to have this talk with you, and I will share your message.